I get more nervous in this room than anywhere else.
It's on your radio right now.
Do you know how to pop that coochie for a green?
There you go.
It's the world's most dangerous one to show.
Cut the cameras, I'm
motherfucking. What kind of show is this? My son listens to this show.
With DJ Envy,
the captain of this bitch.
With Angela Yee, the only one who can keep these guys in check.
With Charlamagne Tha God.
I'm a lovable asshole.
And this is the Breakfast Club, bitches. USA.
Hey, fam.
Hey, Yee, what's going on?
Good morning.
Today is Thursday.
Yes, and I had a rough day yesterday. I had a long day.
Most so rough.
So, look, today I got to go to Revolt Music Conference in Atlanta.
Okay.
So, that means I have to pack the night before because I got to come to work, bring my stuff with me, and then go straight to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
I was so tired by the time I got home last night. I just passed out, and I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning.
And you didn't pack?
Just to pack a little bit.
What time was your flight?
At noon.
You gotta go home first?
No, I brought my stuff with me. But then I woke up early. I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning.
Oh, okay.
I was just tired. I think I'm still a little jet lagged because I was in France last week.
Mm-hmm.
I came back over the weekend, the 6-hour time difference, and I just been going, and I just crashed yesterday.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm actually still a little beat from the car show, which took a lot of planning. But hey, I'm happy. I'm great. I'm healthy. Mm. That's all that matters. So let's get the show cracking. Stephen A. Smith will be joining us this morning.
Oh, wow. There's a lot that we can talk about with him.
Of course. Yeah, with sports, everything, politics. You know, he's on First Take. Charlamagne gave him Donkey of the Day a couple of times. So.
And I know he's an ambassador for HBCU Week.
Yes.
So I know that's one of the main reasons he wants to come up here.
Mm-hmm. So we'll talk to him. And then we got Front Page News. What are we talking about?
He's just rushing me along, huh?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, yes. Front Page News. We're going to talk about e-cigarettes. Have you ever tried those?
No.
I don't recommend anybody using these, and we'll tell you what's going on right now with the FDA and banning flavored e-cigarettes first and foremost.
Now, camera guy uses e-cigarettes, right? You use e-cigarettes, right?
Sure.
Is that yes or no? I'm curious.
Do you vape?
He vapes. What's the difference between vaping and e-cigarettes? I don't know. He doesn't know either.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know. But you know what, though? He won't take any weed, though. I gave him an edible once, and he almost lost his mind.
Well, that's selling drugs. I didn't sell
it to him.
You shouldn't be passing around
you
drugs.
You sold him drugs?
He's a drug dealer. Goodness gracious. All right, let's get the show cracking. It's Front Page News. Up next is The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some Front Page News. Now, on Thursday Night Football, the Buccaneers take on the Carolina Panthers. What else we got, Yeezy?
I haven't chosen a team for this season yet.
Well, it's season started.
Help.
You need
if
to start picking.
If y'all could just tweet me, let me know what team you think should be my team.
The Giants.
It's not going to be the Giants.
Why not?
Because I want to at least have a shot that we're going to make it to a certain point.
My goodness.
All right, now a sixth person has died from vaping-related lung disease in the United States. The woman was older than 50. She had a history of health problems, and she got seriously ill after she started using e-cigarettes, and her symptoms progressed very rapidly. Do people use these? And I know our camera guy does vape or use e-cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
You use them because you gave up smoking, so you feel like this is safer?
I think they have an oral fixation, like they need to put something in their mouth. It's that they're trying to wean off of cigarettes. But, I mean, what do you expect? It still has tobacco on it, right?
Well, they're just advising that people stop using these e-cigarettes right now while they are still investigating. For instance, right, they have a teenager whose lungs are now like a 70-year-old.
Mm.
Adam Hergenreders. He is a student who was hospitalized after using e-cigarettes for more than a year and a half. And just after a year and a half, his lungs are similar to those of a 70-year-old adult.
I don't know why we seem surprised. I mean, they've been saying cigarettes do that to people for a long time.
But I think they try to market it because it's safer for you. So, okay, I don't smoke. I just vape.
It's still a cigarette.
But it's just the marketing of it. And part of it is also they use these flavored e-cigarettes. So you look at it like it's a hookah or something like that. And so right now, Donald Trump is announcing that he wants the FDA to consider taking flavored e-cigarette products off the market. Here's what he said.
Vaping has become a very big business, as I understand it, like a giant business in a very short period of time. But we can't allow people to get sick, and we can't have our youth be so affected. And I'm hearing it, and that's how the First Lady got involved. But people are dying with vaping. So we're looking at it very closely.
This is the thing I'll never understand, right? We know that cigarettes cause cancer, right? We know that cancer kills. Why haven't we just banned cigarettes? Like, we're selling things that we know kill people. I never got that. Like,
yeah, all they did was tax it more. You get people addicted to something. It's probably because it's big business here.
That's like
it makes a lot of money.
If we know there's something that causes cancer, that kills people, and we continue to sell it, we continue to allow people to promote it.
There's a lot of things that we eat that aren't great for us either. Even our artificial sugars are terrible for us.
They cause cancer?
It's a huge problem with obesity and all kinds of issues that people die from also. All right, now the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Alex Azar, said that he, Donald Trump, and the FDA are finalizing policies that will pull these devices from the shelves. And so there's going to be new data that shows that youth use continues to rise rapidly, and they are not going to stand idly by as this is happening. The California Senate has passed a bill that will allow student athletes now to profit off of their likeness. So that's the Fair Pay to Play Act. And this just passed yesterday, even though there was opposition from the NCAA. So they argued that such a law would give California colleges and universities an unfair advantage, but all students should be able to profit when you use their likeness. Come on, that's not even fair.
Absolutely.
All these universities are making all of this money off of you and you're not seeing anything from
nothing
it. And you're still struggling.
That's right.
LeBron tweeted, "Everyone is California. Call your politicians and tell them to support SB 206. This law is a game changer. College athletes can responsibly get paid for what they do and the billions that they create."
As they should. They should get a piece of that pie.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's terrible. All right, Taco Bell now has a vegetarian menu. Everybody's trying new things. So they are debuting that vegetarian menu on their newly redesigned menu, and that also includes two new items, and that's going to start today. They're
going to offer a vegetable taco?
A black bean crunch wrap supreme and a black bean quesarito.
That doesn't sound good.
Why not? People love black bean tacos. And let's give some options for the vegetarians out there to make life a little bit easier for them, right? Right?
Okay.
What's wrong with that?
I mean, it's Taco Bell. I thought the whole thing with tacos is...
I'm not going to lie. I heard this news and I was excited.
Really? Okay.
I was like, now I can go get some food from Taco Bell. All right. And don't forget the debates are on tonight, by the way. They're going to be on ABC and on Univision. So if you want to watch the Democratic debates, those are going to be happening tonight in Houston.
All right.
All right. I'm Angela Yee, and that's your front page news.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up right now. Don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Adrian. How are you guys?
Hey, Adrian, good morning. Get it off your chest, Adrian.
I just wanted to give my mother a shout out real quick. I'm blessed over here in Cali, so I had to call in to share. My mom's name, her name is April Ford.
Mm-hmm.
And every morning, like for the past maybe like 3 years, she would send me and my brother these good morning text messages.
That's nice.
That were like God based. Mm-hmm. And so she went ahead and made a book out of them.
Nice.
And I'm so proud of her. Her book is called Mom's Morning Messages to My Children. And they're a great present for parents and for their kids.
Okay. Read us one of the messages.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Read us yesterday's message.
Yesterday's message, I had no clue I was going to get through. All right, let me see. Yesterday's message. Good morning, my children. Thank God each day you have breath, as his mercies are new every morning. Love you both, Mom.
Tell Mama
sweet.
We love her.
So I just wanted to give my mommy a shout out. And one more thing, she's actually attending the Fredericksburg Book Fair September 21st. So if you are in the area, go check her out. I love you guys.
We love you.
That is really that cheered my whole day up.
Yeah, me too. Hello, who's this?
My mom doesn't do that.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Cal.
Cal, what's
Detroit? What's going on, man?
What up, though? Get it off your chest, bro.
Man, hey, what's up with these exes, man? They put charges on men and it f***ed up. I would like to give her, Angela, that's my ex. I want to give her a donkey of the day. If you guys can do it, I would appreciate it.
We can't give anybody named Angela a donkey of the day,
it's
sir.
It's not
going to
happen, sir. We don't even know what she did, and you might be the wrong one.
We can't do that for anybody named Angela.
Well, her name is Angela.
Nope, not going to happen. Not going to happen. That's the homie. We know her. She's cool.
Oh, man, y'all don't know her, man. She put some fake charges on me. They picked it up.
What were the charges?
We're fighting it. Domestic violence, misdemeanor. I wasn't even at home. She went and made the report 3 days after that alleged allegations. I mean, I don't know, man. This is just bull, you know, and I'm paying money on top of money, attorneys and all that. She's in jail right now. That's the funny part. She's locked up right now for probation violation.
So how's she gonna hear it?
She's locked up.
She locked up.
Wow.
You got some bad judgment, brother. But thank you, man. Hello, who's this?
What up, man? It's Knowledge, man. What up, Envy?
What's up, Knowledge? Get it off your chest.
Hey, what's up? Hey, man. No, thank you, man. You finna come to the AR, Arkansas Pine Bluff, October 4th, man. Be ready for it, man. Appreciate the love, man. You coming to the HBCU on the west side of the Mississippi.
Okay.
Okay.
Envy act like he don't got no idea he gonna be there.
I don't, but I'm gonna be there.
I'll be there.
Yeah, if y'all went through the right channels, I will be there.
The money's in the account.
I don't think you gotta ask what a nuke said. It's good.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that sounds like fun.
All right. So shout out to all the cappers out there.
Man.
Bye, brother. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Wake up.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Damn. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Brian from Aniston, Alabama.
What's up, bro? Get it off your chest.
Hey, man, I just want to say good morning to y'all, man. I listen to y'all every morning. And I was listening to the Malik Yoba interview yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And they were talking about the trans. And it left me more confused.
Me too.
Like, I still don't, they really didn't answer any of the questions, and I still don't understand, like, what terms to really use.
Me neither.
Here's the thing. I'm just as confused, too. But it's not about us understanding their lifestyle. We just have to understand that they have the right to exist. That's all.
He wants to know what terms to use, though.
I didn't know either.
About.
But right. I don't know. People hit me yesterday, and they said they were more confused. But
well, you're a cisgender male.
That I know.
Okay.
But I'm never going to understand the proper term. So, you know, I'm just going to... I mean, they're humans anyway. Let's treat them like human beings. That's all.
Yeah. All right. Well, sorry, brother. Reckless TV, what's up, bro?
Here, what's going on, man?
What's up?
I got two things I want to get off my chest. If you're a singer, a rapper, or anything, you want some reason to be heard, go follow Reckless TV, RECKLEVCTV on Instagram. Follow, DM your content, and I post it. Secondly, what was up with the interview yesterday? Like,
this
was mad confusing.
Yes, it was.
I said the same thing.
Letters, they added numbers. It sounds like algebra, like LGBTQ+. They sounded mad. You asked a simple question. They got an attitude with you. Like, how can you teach people when you got an attitude? I'm confused.
I'm confused too, but all we got to understand is that they have a right to exist. That's all. Nobody should be getting killed for who they are.
And I understand it 100%, but when you ask the simple question, man, they jump down your throat. Like, come on, you can't keep somebody when you ask a simple question.
Well,
like,
let me ask you a question. When you arguing with your woman and you question her, does she jump down your throat?
Good point.
Exactly. Just like a woman. That's all.
All right.
Okay, there you go.
All right, sorry, Ryan. You seem more confused than before. Hello, who's this?
Neil.
Get it off your chest.
How you doing? I wanted to know, y'all airing in Delaware?
A what?
Are we airing in Delaware?
I believe so.
Yeah, I thought we didn't.
Are we in Delaware? No.
No.
No, we're not
no,
in Delaware.
No, we're not in dirty Delaware.
Oh, wow. I just wanted to give a shout out to Shay from American Idol. I wanted them to come to Inglewood, New Jersey. I'm hoping possibility.
Okay.
What I got to do in Delaware, though?
I guess.
No, I'm just saying, if anybody's listening, this is Neil from the Blind Runner. I wanted to give them the information on Facebook.
Okay, what's up?
All right, it's Neil Biddy, Black Daredevil. Neil, N-E-I-L, Black Daredevil, B-I-D-D-Y.
All right, brother.
I just needed to get that out, all right?
Thank you. Hello, who's this?
What up? This is Bill from Atlanta. Hey, I'm going to tell you why I'm mad, man. That interview y'all had with Malik Yoba was a joke. I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but this is y'all disclaimer. This is not for our Breakfast Club or iHeart. But basically, what I want to say.
I don't know.
That gay person was trying to compare, or was trying to compare
the black struggle
to the gay struggle. Did y'all not remember that?
First of all, you have to say the trans woman.
I don't think we're in the oppression Olympics, sir.
No, it's not even oppression Olympics. And then you want to have the nerve to apologize. That woman,
Why would I not apologize if I unintentionally hurt somebody? Listen, I love black people regardless of what black people are, gay, straight, trans, whatever. If I unintentionally hurt one of my brothers or sisters, what's wrong with apologizing?
Hello, who's this?
Tisha from Texas.
Hey, Tisha from Texas. Get it off your chest.
I just want to let y'all know, I was excited about the Malik Yoba and Friends interview yesterday.
Malik Yoba and Friends.
I heard it, I was confused still. I even went to work and re-listened to it again, and even majorly confused after that.
Yeah, me
they
too.
They couldn't decide between all of them on the Malik Yoba and Friends panel what they wanted to be called, how they wanted to be called. Then I heard he was kind of, you know, like outed and then not, and then end again. Like, I don't know. I'm confused.
Here's the thing. The only thing that we need to understand is that they have the right to exist. They shouldn't be getting killed for who they are. But I get you. I don't quite understand it either, but that's cool.
Hello, who's this?
Yeah, hey, how we doing? It's Vinny over here. Listen, Angela, how we doing? Listen, I'm from the Soprano movie, and I want...
I'm sorry.
They got a Soprano movie coming
up? I'm sorry.
I wanted to hear more.
Hello, who's this?
This is Mike from Jersey.
Mike, what's up? Get it off your chest.
Not much. Good morning. Good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
Listen, I watched the segment yesterday with Mr. Yoba and your other guests.
Very popular segment.
Yeah, and God bless them all, and I wish them love, peace, and prosperity. But here's the thing. It's just simply too many letters for me. I mean, the LGBTQIA plus to the third power times pi. I mean, what's next? And they haven't even thrown in the and yet. Because, see, once you put the and in there, you know, it's got to end at that point.
Listen,
and,
bro, we overthinking this. This is all we need to understand about this situation. They have the right to exist, and they shouldn't be getting killed for who they are. That's it.
See, that's what I'm talking about. We don't dissect any other culture or group that far. Just love who you love.
That's it.
And I don't need to know all the nuances of what you like and how you feel, and I don't need the labels that go along with that. Just do you.
Yeah, and even when I say to them, like, I don't care, I understand why they get upset because they think I'm saying I don't care about their life, but that's not true. I just don't care about their lifestyle. Do you.
Thank you. And Envy brought up a good point yesterday, too, and I'll leave it there. But, you know, when he mentioned back in the day certain words that we just used, I mean, it was regular. Now, I don't know what to say.
That's what I was saying. Like, I'm confused, but nobody's trying to be disrespectful or hurtful. It's just these were the words that were fine back then. So when you change the narrative, it's like, well, what bothers you?
Absolutely.
Tell me why.
And when you're having a conversation, it's confusing. That's why, you know, they can be like, what are you? Like,
there you go.
I guess I'm straight. I don't know.
You guess? So
that's all I wanted to get off my chest. Good morning to all of you.
Thank you. Now, even the
you got to add that.
Cisgender. Like, what is a cisgender?
Now, I'm going to tell you what I thought about.
Who came up with that term?
I thought about this morning, actually, on the way in. Mm-hmm. I've been thinking about this all day.
Okay.
They say it's no gender. But then they tell me I'm cisgender. Isn't that still gender?
No, they didn't say there's no gender.
Yes, they do. They say gender is a social construct.
Yeah, but...
So why add to the social construct by calling me cisgender?
They just always try to differentiate between gender and sexuality.
Who created cisgender?
But I thought if gender's a social construct and it's something that we made up and it doesn't... Never mind. Listen, live your life, baby. You know what I mean?
Can I say human?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know. I think you should say homo sapien.
See, I'm not... You know
what? You are homo sapien.
I'm an alien.
All right. Be what you want to be, bro.
All right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. You got rumors on the way?
Well, Love & Hip Hop New York has been renewed for season 10. We'll tell you who is coming back from previous seasons. Some people that used to be on years ago are actually making a return.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has
Club. So listen up. Love and Hip Hop New York has been renewed for season 10. Can you believe it's been 10 seasons?
I thought it was more than 10.
So we'll give you some spoilers about who's coming back. And there's some big people coming back from the first season ever. Joe Budden and Sin Santana will be on again.
I hope Joe Budden and Sin Santana haven't been doing a publicity stunt this whole time. Just for a Love and Hip Hop
story. I think they're really broken up.
I doubt it.
That would suck.
Yeah.
Joel Santana and Kimbella.
I thought Jewel was in jail.
Kimbella.
When does he get out?
I thought he got like three
years. I thought
years.
He had 2 years.
Or maybe he'll be featured on the phone. I don't know.
Yeah.
But,
or maybe they'll show with him actually going in.
Yandy is on there and Juju.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Fernandez, Rich Dallas, Danny Garcia, and Erica Mendez. Tahiri's coming back.
Really?
She was
really?
On seasons 3 and 4.
Okay.
So she'll be back. I'll be interested to watch Tahiri come back.
Not the homie.
They better not throw her in no mess.
Of course they will.
Yeah, they ain't gonna do that.
A singer, Jenna Ski, is being introed for the first time. Jim Jones and Chrissy are coming back.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, see? Okay. That's interesting, right? Mm-hmm. And Samaya Reese is supposedly coming back. So that's what we know right now.
So that's Love and Hip Hop New York.
Yeah, yes. New York.
So no Remy and Pap.
Well, they said they don't know yet whether or not they're coming back. So that has not been confirmed or denied.
Why didn't they keep the Remy and Pap reality show going? The Black Love. I'm here for that.
Yeah, so maybe they will be back. All right. In the meantime, Shay Johnson from Love and Hip Hop Miami, and you also know her from Flavor of Love and from Charm School, got into a car crash a few weeks ago and it nearly killed her. We had no idea. She posted, "Thanking God for another day. Some weeks ago, I was in a car accident. Both cars were total, but I'm good. I've never been in an accident before, so I was shook. Took me a minute to post this, but as you can see, this accident could have been worse. I was the only one who went to the hospital. I was there forever, but left with a concussion, cuts, arm sprung, and bruises. Nothing was broken." Here's what she said.
My whole side was hit right here. I can't move this side for some reason. The airbag came out. I don't feel like nothing is broken, but my neck hurt.
Mm. Wow, well, we are praying for you, Shay, and we're glad that you're okay.
When did she record that? After the accident?
Yeah, but she waited a few weeks. I guess it was really bad, so she didn't want to post it.
I always wonder, how hurt are you if you can pull out your phone and record?
That was 2 weeks later.
I thought that was in the moment.
Well, no. Yeah, she might have recorded that then and didn't post it until now, but she got in a car accident some weeks ago. Mm. So, you know, and that's not to say that she wasn't in pain or it happened right away after, but maybe she wanted to let people know at some point when she was comfortable with it.
Right.
All right, Mike, the situation. Sorrentino, he is getting out of jail today. He's been in federal prison since January for tax evasion. Finally, he'll be coming home. They said it's unclear if the cast from Jersey Shore will meet him at the prison gates or are they going to travel to him, but they're going to be doing this for reality TV.
Scariest thing ever.
Mm-hmm. What?
IRS.
Oh.
Who?
No,
I'm playing. I respect you, IRS. IRS. I would never disrespect you and say who.
Play around.
Okay, I know exactly who y'all are.
Okay.
And that's why I pay y'all.
That's right.
Every quarter.
That's right.
All right.
That's right.
Now, Burna Boy was in Atlanta, Georgia, performing, and he didn't like what some of the fans in the front row were looking like. After doing some of his hit songs, there were two people in the audience he did not feel were being energetic enough. So he actually stopped the show, took some money out of his pocket, and gave it to one of the fans and said, "Okay, go home. This guy is annoying me. This guy too. Why are you here?" He told them, "Security, carry this guy from off the front section. You can stay. You can go in the back. You can't stay in the front. The front is strictly for my diehard Burna Boy fans." So apparently he's not happy if you're in the front row and he's putting his all into his show and you don't have the reaction that he wants. He said, "Everyone that understands what the F I do this for, everyone that sees my sorrow, my sweat, my blood, my tears that I put into this music and every performance, I do this ish for you from the bottom of my heart."
I feel him. Like, don't come to my show, especially if it's my show. Like, if it's my show, it's a Burna Boy show, not I'm featured on somebody's stage. If it's a Burna Boy show, don't come here and just ice grill me the whole time.
Yeah, but some people don't get excited.
So why are you here?
Some people, that's their excitement.
That's their excitement. Just because I don't jump around doesn't mean I'm not excited. I'm happy to see you.
Yeah, but it's the difference between not being excited and just sitting there staring at me.
That's a loss.
Me,
you know why?
Because
I paid for my ticket. I got there early. I got in line. I got
him
to the front.
You gave him a refund.
But that doesn't mean you got to kick me out.
I gave you a refund.
No, I want to stay. I paid.
People in the comments said that he was 4 hours late, though.
Oh, see, that's different.
So I don't know if that's true.
So you don't, but should have added that context.
I was letting y'all talk first.
Now you're 4 hours late. Now I'm waiting on you 4 hours late. My feet hurt.
That's totally different.
My legs hurt. Yeah. My back hurt.
Are you lucky I didn't leave?
I got to go to work in the morning.
All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Now, when we come back, Front Page News, what are we talking about?
Yes, we are going to talk about vaping. It's very dangerous here. So for all of you that are out here vaping, thinking that you're using these mint-flavored vapes and all of that, you might want to take a break from this because it's not good for you at all in any way. Matter of fact, it could really harm your lungs permanently.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
That's so funny.
Good morning, everybody. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, tonight, Thursday Night Football, the Buccaneers take on the Panthers. What else we got at Yee?
Well, tonight is also the third round of the Democratic debates, and that is going to be tonight from 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern on ABC and Univision. The moderators are, of course, from ABC, and there's going to be 10 of our Democratic nominees on that stage. So I know right now what everybody's paying attention to is Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, and Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, because Biden and Warren have never been on the stage together. Mm-hmm. So that should be interesting.
But Cory Booker will be there, Kamala Harris, Amy Klobuchar, Pete Buttigieg, Julian Castro, Beto O'Rourke, and Andrew Yang will be there as well.
All right, I'm going to be watching tonight. That's must-see TV. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if you don't think it's must-see TV, it's very entertaining.
Yeah, it can be.
And the fact it's been narrowed down to 10 people?
It's 3 hours, though. Jeez.
It's worth it.
And I'll be at the Revolt Music Conference at a dinner. But I'm sure I'll see all the highlights.
Enjoy that.
ASAP. All right, now Donald Trump wants the FDA to ban flavored e-cigarettes because those are marketed to the youth. A lot of kids think that it's okay for them to use those flavored e-cigarettes. Now, vaping products do not contain tobacco. They can be used to inhale nicotine. That's the addictive ingredient in cigarettes. Or to ingest THC, and that's the main component of marijuana.
He must have caught his little baron smoking vapes or something. Now, I don't think he would just randomly say, I'm going to ban vapes. Something happened.
Well, a sixth person died in the U.S. from lung disease related to vaping. And there's one young man. He's only 18 years old, and they said his lungs are like a 70-year-old's lungs.
You
he
really
was hospitalized after using e-cigarettes for more than a year and a half.
You really think Donald Trump banned vapes because of a few people that died in America? If that was the case, banned AR-15s already.
He's not banning all e-cigarettes, just the flavored ones, because those are the ones that they feel are marketed toward the youth. So here's what Donald Trump has to say.
Vaping has become a very big business, as I understand it, like a giant business in a very short period of time. But we can't allow people to get sick, and we can't have our youth be so affected. And I'm hearing it, and that's how the First Lady got involved. But people are dying with vaping. So we're looking at it very closely.
Automatic weapons, too.
Yeah, his son was probably vaping. His son was probably caught vaping. There's something bigger than that.
Trump might have beef with the CEO of vapes. We don't know who's
the
CEO.
Maybe he can't tax it as much as he wants.
But truthfully, this vaping has been in the news a lot as of late.
So is mass shootings.
I don't know why they just don't ban cigarettes, like I said earlier.
They're not banning all vaping products. I told you, just the flavored ones.
Okay, so you don't got to ban all guns either, but you can ban AR-15s.
So, yes. I mean, look.
Ban automatic weapons?
Can somebody tell me why we haven't banned cigarettes, though? Like, they say they cause cancer. Cancer will kill you, but we still sell them and still promote them?
I don't even know why.
Big business, baby.
Yeah, it's because of financial
reasons. Big business, baby. You know that's money.
All right. Now, Taco Bell now has a vegetarian menu for all of you that are wanting to get your fast food eating on. What, they have a black bean crunch wrap supreme and a black bean quesarito. I guess they feel the need because a lot more people are becoming vegetarian. And they want to compete.
Last thing I want when I go to Taco Bell is beans. Taco Bell already makes you poop. All right? Now I'm going to go get I'm gonna go purposely order beans from Taco Bell in the form of a burger.
All right. Now, a young swimmer was disqualified after a race because of how her swimsuit fit her body. This happened in Anchorage, Alaska. She swam in and she won a heat during the meet, but a race official said that her swimsuit had shifted into a position that showed too much of her backside, and they said it didn't fit her properly. Even though it was a team-issued swimsuit, it violated a rule, and they did disqualify her after that.
That's not her fault.
She was probably, let me guess, she had a body, voluptuous body. A big butt. That's right.
Well, whatever word you tried to pronounce just now, you tried to say voluptuous, but
that's
I don't
what I
know.
Said. I said
no,
voluptuous.
You did. You thought you said
you
voluptuous.
You said voluptuous.
I don't know what he said.
You know what I meant.
I know what you meant.
You know what I meant.
Definitely right. Know what you meant.
Well, it did feel like harassment to her. Her mother says that she feels like it was a form of harassment. Her daughter was wearing the same swimsuit every other member on the team had on to compete. Her mom said it's sexual harassment. It shouldn't have any place on the pool deck.
Was she black or white?
From the picture, she looks white. Her name is Brecken Willis.
She's mixed.
Oh, she's mixed?
Yeah, she's mixed.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie. I'm still stuck on that Taco Bell
menu. Let me take another look at her.
Now, they said she was mixed, and they believe it's some kind of racial thing because they believe that maybe she was mixed. Her backside was a little bigger.
Body probably scared all the white people.
Yeah, that's what they were saying.
They're not used to all that ass and hips. Well, listen, the menu. You only named one item.
So. You back at Taco Bell, bro?
Because she said menu, but she named one item.
I named a couple of them. Black bean.
Black bean burger. What else?
Hold on, let me go back to it. But yeah, there were two things that we named.
Are you hungry?
They already have vegetarian things on the menu, but now they're having like a whole vegetarian menu. Mm. So. But at least you have options. It's nice, like, listen, sometimes now I can go to Fridays and get a Beyond Burger. It's nice to have those options.
No, it is. I think that a lot of people are just cashing in on the vegan lifestyle, though. I don't know how much of this stuff is actually vegetarian.
Vegan and vegetarian is different, though.
Well, either way, I just think you can label things something now, and it makes people buy
vegetarian it. Just means there's no meat in it. It doesn't mean it's vegan.
I've been seeing vegetarian chocolate chip cookies, vegan chocolate chip cookies,
and that means that they don't use that means they don't use milk and egg products.
Please don't confuse me.
If it's vegan.
The chicken at KFC is plant-based now.
Yeah, you're confusing me.
And if you can grow chickens out the ground with a seed.
That'll be awesome.
It's just
chicken.
Weird. Or whatever.
All right. Well, that is your front page news.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. Now, when we come back, Stephen A. Smith will be joining us. We'll kick it with Stephen A. Smith.
He's been running from the Breakfast Club for a while, by the way.
Well, we'll talk to him when we come back. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
He finally came to sit in this hot seat.
That's right, from my borough, Queens, Stephen A. Smith.
What's going on, y'all? How y'all doing?
Good morning. Now, yes. I haven't seen First Take this week. Did you talk about how good my Dallas Cowboys looked on this past Sunday? Did you talk about how amazing they look? Like the front runners in the NFC?
Even when you gave me Donkey of the Day awards and all of this other stuff, I defended you and defended you and defended you. I said, Joe, I'm a big boy. I could take it. If he feel I deserve it, ain't no big deal. But then you're going to bring up the Cowboys.
I'm just saying.
I mean, I'm trying to come to you. Listen, y'all ain't win since 1995.
No, let's not talk about the past. Let's talk about Sunday.
That's what y'all always do.
That always happens at the beginning of the season. This is our year. We're going to the Super Bowl. 3-13.
Season ends January 3rd at 7 o'clock.
You know we're going to win the Super Bowl next year, right?
Next year we got you. Did we look good on Sunday, though? Y'all look good. Dallas is a monster. Their defense is no joke. Dak deserves his money, though. You better take care of him.
He will.
But I will say this. New Orleans, L.A., Aaron Rodgers back. Don't sleep. Chicago's there. And I think Philadelphia going to win the NFC East.
Really?
DeSean Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey, Zach Ertz, Carson Wentz is better than Dak Prescott, even though I got love for Dak.
Well, guess what I think?
What?
Dallas Cowboys going to win the Super Bowl.
I know. Who do you think is going to win? The Giants.
You know him. He don't mean that. He's just being emotional. I understand that. You know it's bad when Daniel Jones shows up in the first game. Yeah. I mean, it was only 2 minutes left, but he showed up in game one.
Yeah.
That tells you all you need to know. I mean, the owner was just weeks removed from saying, I hope we don't see him all year.
Yeah. Because
that means Eli is playing lights out. Mm-hmm. And the brother showed up before the first game expired. Yeah. Bad news for y'all.
Why are we talking about football anyway?
Before you get to that, though, I do want to say MB's also retired as a Knicks fan.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, I'm done. I can't do it anymore.
So what are your thoughts on...
Well, I'm not going to go that far about myself because I am what I am, but I will say this. I don't blame any Knicks fan for feeling that way. And it's not just because of the perpetual misery. It's because... When you lose out to KD and Kyrie to Brooklyn Nets.
It's over.
The Knick brand is officially not what it used to be.
Yeah. Trash.
So if you had a choice to go to a Nets game or a Knicks game, which one are you going to?
Oh, hell yes, the Nets.
Okay.
I got to say this to you. It's not that the Knicks ain't going to be better, but I got to say this. People forget this. KD, when he comes back, that means you're a legitimate contender.
Correct.
But without KD, without Kyrie, they were still a playoff team. And then with Kyrie, people forget Kyrie is showstopper. Mm-hmm. Kyrie is box office. So go to it's worth the price of admission to walk through the turnstiles and watch him.
Him and KD play together though, because I feel like
about to find out.
Yeah, I feel like both of them have very low emotional IQs. And this New York, like if you got thin skin and you can't handle
Kyrie
people talking about you, critiquing you,
Kyrie,
it's gonna be rough.
I will say this to you: Kyrie can handle it because he's gonna dance on you. KD, this is my argument in defense of KD, and Lord knows we've had our back and forth. We still have our back and forth. But here's the deal about KD: every time I see KD have an attitude. Every time he in the news for the wrong reasons. Every time people getting on him. He drops 40. Mm. Well, if that's your definition of a bad day, go ahead and have it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right. He's the kind of cat where his game is going to be his game. His game will not disappoint you. And the reason why I think they can coexist, I think KD is one of those guys. He's one of the most unselfish superstars you'll ever see.
Now, we got to talk Carmelo. We've seen your interview with Melo.
Yeah.
Now you don't think they're doing my guy Melo
dirty? No. Without question, they're doing it wrong.
A good tour on his last season?
Stop the tour.
Why?
Melo belongs in the league. There ain't 250 players, let alone 450-plus players better than Carmelo Anthony.
Okay.
Now, you're making the argument that the ball stops moving when he's on the court, which is legitimate, but I think what people are missing is what has happened to the NBA game. you got a bunch of these white dudes that are analytics dudes. And so they're numbers crunchers. And everything is according to PER and all of this other stuff, all of these statistical categories. Well, what has happened is they're looking at that and they're using that to frame rosters. Because if you go to an owner and an owner particularly doesn't know basketball, what's their position? I know numbers.
Right.
Well, if you're an analytics dude, you coming to them with numbers. So they're going to let you flow. This is why Daryl Morey let go of Carmelo with 10 games into the season. Because the analytics dudes judge the game in 10-game increments. After 10 games, they think it tells you something. So if they wanted Charlamagne or they wanted Angelo, they wanted you, they say, okay, we want you gone. They ain't cutting you game 15. They're going to cut you at 10 or 20 or 30. It's like 10-game increments.
Didn't know that.
An accident. So you got that working against Melo. And one coach said this to me. He said, Stephen A., this brother's a future Hall of Famer. But I don't think he works for my 9-man rotation. How am I supposed to look down at the end of the bench and see a Hall of Famer and think I'm not going to take heat for that?
Wow.
Why would I want that headache? I know he from roster from 9 to 15, he clearly could be on any team in the NBA. The problem is most of those dudes are marginal talents without his resume that you could justify and get away with it and have peace of mind. How you going to have Melo on the end of the bench?
True.
He said that's a headache we don't want. That's why he's not in the league.
So you
think
it's over?
I don't think it's over yet because I think there's still a couple of teams he could help. I don't know if Brooklyn is the right thing,
but I
personally believe that LeBron should find a way to get him to L.A.
Yeah.
I personally believe that. I think that Doc Rivers could use him. I think that LeBron in L.A. could use him with the Lakers. There's a few other teams that you could mention that he probably wouldn't want to be. I don't mind an end run with the Knicks. All right, you want to honor him as the Knicks? Fine. You want to honor him as the Denver Nuggets? Fine. But that damn national tour throughout the NBA, no, that should be reserved for champions.
Yeah, I don't want him to end his career with the Knicks. He don't deserve that.
All right.
He's been through enough.
But where do you retire as Jersey, though? Do you retire in New York? Do you retire in Denver? What, like,
both.
Where do you retire?
I say more so New York. Denver, only reason I say no to Denver, even though those were his best years,
right.
The problem is he wanted out. He pushed himself out of that door.
Gotcha.
I didn't want to be here. Gotcha. I want to get to the East Coast. They're going to hold that against him. There is absolutely nothing to hold against him in New York because he wanted to be here when nobody else wanted to even come.
True.
Now, have any athletes ever tried to hold your commentary against you? Have they ever
All
tried
the time.
To press you?
They do it every day.
Like, I'm talking about like press you. Like,
oh, yeah.
Physically.
Oh, yeah. It's a couple, but that didn't work out well for them.
Yeah. Beautiful queen. Don't get it twisted. No, beautiful queen.
No, wait. Didn't you get smacked on the butt once?
That was by Morris for the Washington Wizards. He just slapped me after they had won a game. And, I thought nothing of it until a couple of days later he said publicly, well, I just did that because that's all I could do. And I was like, well, wait a minute.
What?
I thought you was playing around. That's what you were doing? I'm like, that's like you were serious? Like, you really? I said, okay. And I went on national TV. I said, let that happen again.
Don't touch me.
That don't do that.
That's crazy.
Don't do that.
You know,
sometimes it ain't about winning or losing. Sometimes it's what you're willing to do to make your point.
Right.
People
I'm not gonna get punked.
Lot, though.
It ain't going down like that.
People block you, though. I saw Antonio Brown just blocked you.
Well, he should be blocking everybody. He's acting like a buffoon. Mm-hmm. And I'm not calling him a buffoon. I'm not calling him clownish because that's engaging in character assassination. I'm talking about how he has conducted himself over the last few weeks. I don't believe you do the kind of stuff that he did. And I wasn't following him or anything. I'm just, I just do what I do on TV or radio, and they post it on social media, and he didn't want it disseminated to his followers. And I don't blame him because I went in on him, and he deserved it.
All right, we got more with Stephen A. Smith. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Stephen A. Smith is here. Charlamagne?
Do you think the Patriots signing him sent the wrong message? Like, they're rewarding bad behavior?
I don't think that's the Patriots' problem.
Okay.
I think that you're trying to win Super Bowls. You've already won 6 rings with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in that era. You have the license to do what you want to do. He was guaranteed $30 million from Oakland. He's only guaranteed $9 million from New England.
Mm-hmm.
5 in incentives he could earn, and then they got an option of $20 million on the second year. They are in complete control of his destiny with them. And because that's the reality, I have no problems whatsoever with, you know, them, you know, them taking a position. I mean, this is who we want. The man, the brother's all world. He's one of the top two receivers in all of football. He's a future Hall of Famer, one of the greatest receivers we've ever seen. Can't take anything away from him. And I think with him, it's unfair. It's the equivalent of Durant with the Warriors. It's a foregone conclusion to me that the Patriots going to win it all, barring injury.
Not Dallas
he's,
Cowboys.
He's that great. Well, Dallas.
Oh, my goodness. And I don't understand why everybody applauding Antonio. You found a way to lose $21 million. I don't think that should be applauded.
Exactly. I completely agree. For once, we agree. Yeah. For once, we agree.
Yeah. For once.
Now, Odell, what did you think about, this is a two question, what did you think about the Giants getting rid of Odell?
Yeah.
And last week, him wearing a watch on the field to play football?
Well, first of all, I didn't like the fact that they got rid of him because they tried to paint it like he was such a bad guy. Mm-hmm. He was a bit emotional, a bit temperamental at times, but that's all he did. Mm-hmm. The situation in France, he wasn't the one with the white powdered substance in front of him. Mm-hmm. He was eating pizza. That woman was doing whatever it was she was doing. That's his business. Having said all of that, he was all world and what have you, and I thought he was box office, and they had just signed him to $95 million. So you said you didn't sign him to trade him, but that's exactly what you ended up doing. Having said all of that, he's got to check himself to some degree from the standpoint that, look, you haven't won anything. You've been to the playoffs once. The one thing that he has proven is that you can lose with him and you can lose without him, mm-hmm. because they've been losing without him. All right, they already started off the season getting trolled by the Cowboys.
Right.
And they obviously lost with him the previous 4 or 5 years that he was with the Giants. So at some point in time, you got to look in the mirror and you got to recognize the fact that I got to focus on football. I thought the watch thing and all of that stuff, he ain't break any rules. It's mm-hmm. no crime. But in the same breath, nobody else is doing that. You're trying to be different. Why aren't you trying to win? You taking videos with you and Kaepernick throwing you the football. I got no problem with that. But damn it, you need to establish yourself with Baker Mayfield. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, what have you done? At some point in time, it's got to be about that. And I'm one of those guys that I want cats to get their money. I'm all for that. But in the same breath, I don't know about the rest of y'all. I think one of the problems is too many cats are getting paper. And I'm not talking salary. I'm talking endorsement deals, attention, mm-hmm. and all of that stuff. You're getting it without winning. I want mm-hmm. you to win. I want you to prioritize mm-hmm. winning. Mm-hmm. Because guess what? Y'all do y'all thing every morning. You winning. That's why y'all matter. If y'all were losing, you wouldn't matter.
Correct.
Winning matters. It matters. Mm-hmm. I'm winning. It matters. Mm-hmm. When you ain't winning, but you being celebrated, I'm not down with that.
That's kind of this generation, though. They give out participation trophies.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you pointed that out in your book. Yeah, I know. And I think it's a problem, and I think it's something that has to change. You know, and that's one of the things that I try to focus on in everything that I do, just reminding people what the real world is. That ain't the real world. That's an aberration. Mm-hmm. The real world is what we're talking about here. You know, we're going to get into HBCU week and all of this other stuff. The bottom line is that you got to go out there and you have to produce. And if you don't produce, they will find someone else who does. But in the world of sports, unfortunately, we got too many cats that are being celebrated without winning.
Right.
And that's my issue. It's not that I don't want you to get your money. Mm-hmm. Not that I don't want you to get your paper and the attention and everything that comes with it, all the acclaim. I just want it to be because you win. Not because, oh, you flashy. Or you. If you really, really think about it, as electrifying as Odell Beckham Jr. is, and he is.
He is.
If it wasn't for that one catch in the end zone against your Cowboys,
yeah, yeah.
we got to ask ourselves what kind of endorsements would he have gotten? Mm. And why would he have gotten them? You know about the catch. You know about his hair.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know about the commercial with Eli Manning during the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And you know that he showed up in a playoff game against the Green Bay Packers after being in South Beach the Monday before the game, chilling with the fellas on a boat. But when you went to Lambeau Field 6 days later, you were targeted 11 times. You caught 4 passes for 28 yards, and y'all lost the playoff game.
And let me ask you.
That's what we know.
Let's start from the beginning. A lot of people don't know. How did you get your start in this, and how did you get into your TV show?
Because sports broadcasting, really.
Right, the first time I met you, we were doing a morning show together.
That's right.
Yeah. It was me, Stephen A. Smith, and Ms. Jones.
That's right. How old are you, bro?
I'm pretty young. We all pretty young. And I remember they offered you a check, and you was like, no, I'll pass. Mm. And then all of a sudden, it just went from there. So how did you get your start into this industry?
Well, I went to Winston-Salem State, mm-hmm. an HBCU, and I majored in
not Hampton, but I love that.
You know what? You are right about that. And I'll say that's for different reasons okay. for another day.
All right.
But Hampton is special. Right. I will say this, you know, just being there and majoring in mass communications. Look, man, I got left back in the fourth grade, mm-hmm. and I had a first grade reading level. And from that point forward, remembering, I mean, it was fourth grade, man. I'll tell you right now, I'm 51 years old. This is over 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the kids in the neighborhood that was laughing at me and ridiculing me, I remember everybody. everybody named Marshall, Lewis, Donald Miller, Willie Jones. I mean, I remember everybody. I mean, I was and even though I could ball, I had focused my attention on nobody's ever gonna laugh at me again for my lack of intelligence. I was gonna make sure I was gonna elevate that. And so, you know, me, you know, focusing on journalism because a professor noticed my ability to write and told me, you know, go there. And it just took off from there. School newspaper, local weekly paper, local daily paper, the Winston-Salem Journal. From there, internships there in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Started off my career at the New York Daily News. Then I went to the Philadelphia Inquirer, got promoted 9 times, made some paper. I was real popular, covering Allen Iverson every single day for the first 10 years of his career. And that's why I always say I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. That's my little brother right there.
Shout out to A.I.
Because that brother, I mean, it was wild covering him. Make no mistake about it. But there was never a dull moment. So the eye of the basketball world was on me. And I was able to materialize that or take that. And from CNNSI, when they had a sports entity, to Fox Sports, to the ESPN coming to me in October 2003. And then after I got there, Mark Shapiro was the president at the time. Now he's the president of the Endeavor agency. But he was the president of ESPN at the time. He's running ESPN, rather. And he said to me, you got to have your own show. Everything you touch is ratings. He said, I need to give you your own show. And then that's when Quite Frankly came in and people saw me hosting a show. And I hosted like 720 shows. You know, I did all that. Actually, 300 and change with over 700 interviews and stuff like that. I had everybody but Michael Jordan and Tiger. And MJ was on his way. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was great. And my career just took off from there. And that's what I've been doing.
When you cover AI, because this is a different era now. Now it would be all about the gossip and his personal life. What did you cover about him then?
Well, me personally, I've always had my own personal code. Mm-hmm. Your personal life is your business. Mm-hmm. Unless it ends up in the police block. Mm-hmm. If it ends up in the police blotters, or you put your personal business out there, let's say, for example, you're doing an interview, people recording you talking about that stuff, all right, then that's different. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, what goes on in the privacy of your home is your damn business. That's always been my mentality. Just don't let it get public. Once it gets public, it's open season, okay? Because I'm not going to be left holding the bag like I don't know what the hell's going on. Mm-hmm. And so he always understood that. And a lot of times when we would butt heads, it was crazy, but we were butt heads, it was usually because I used to tell him this, your fault. Mm-hmm. I said, it ain't just because of what you do. You weren't around to tell a story. Your sport is my domain. Mm-hmm. No one's going to tell me what you're doing on the court. If you shoot 2 for 20, that's what you did. Mm-hmm. You ain't going to tell me, nah, man, it was the coach. Hell no, I watch you jack up air balls. Mm-hmm. You ain't getting away with that.
Right.
But if something's going on in your private life, that's your story to tell. But if you allow some of it to get out, and you don't talk about it, the worst thing you can do with me is be inaccessible. Because then you're giving me the license to speculate. You're giving me the license to go to different avenues to find out this information. And you did that to yourself because I wasn't looking for that story. And I'm not trying to report that story. I'm trying to focus on the game. But when you see stuff that affects the game, that's the kind of stuff that, you know, you got to point to.
All right, we're still kicking it with Stephen A. Smith. Don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're kicking it with Stephen A. Smith. So let's talk about HBCU Week. Yeah. It's the third annual HBCU. What's HBCU Week?
Well, listen, it's basically an effort. First of all, you got to give a lot of props to Mayor Persicki in Delaware and his office. And he's got some of his folks here and Mayor Carney and Governor Carney and others are showing up. I was surprised because they started it about 3 years ago. And it's basically to bring attention to HBCUs. And, you know, people point out, you know, dwindling participation and things of that nature, accreditation issues and stuff like that. But the fact that the matter is, I come from an HBCU. Taraji B. Henson comes from an HBCU. Spike Lee comes from an HBCU. Mm-hmm. Felicia Rashad, so many different others.
DJ Envy.
DJ Envy, absolutely. And so you look at all the people that have come from HBCUs and what have you. There's a lot that HBCUs have to offer. And HBCU Week is a dedication on behalf of Delaware State, the city of Wilmington, Delaware, the mayor and others, to bring attention to that. And the fact that you want active participation, particularly by African Americans in terms of enrolling folks in college and things of that nature. They got an HBCU Fair Week as well. That Friday where First Take is going down and doing the show live from the 76ers Fieldhouse there. If you're a high school senior, you show up with your grades and you show up with your SAT or ACT score, you know what? You can be eligible to be enrolled in college on the spot. Mm. There's potential scholarships that's going to be offered. And they basically, you know, honored me because of what I've been able and blessed to achieve in my career a few months ago. And then asked me to be the ambassador for HBCU Week because they want to bring, you know, they want to bring attention to HBCUs and, you know, the importance of it all and how there's so much good that we can do in terms of generating participation, elevating level of attention and awareness about HBCUs and what it has to offer, particularly the African-Americans, obviously. And that's something that I take pride in, because if it wasn't for Winston-Salem State University, again, I don't know if I would be in this position. Mm-hmm. They did a lot
about,
for me.
What do you think about players not going to HBCUs and going to these bigger universities where we start these players? You know,
right.
Whether it's Zion, whether it's some of these major players that if they would have went to the HBCU, Howard Hampton and some right. of these other schools, it brings so much attention to these schools.
I'm sure you read the Jemele Hill article.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And so, listen, the bottom line is this. If I don't blame them, I understand it. I wish that wasn't the case. But I had the pleasure of interviewing Buck O'Neill. He was the last living guy from the Negro Leagues. Mm-hmm. And he talked about how if the sport of Major League Baseball had not been integrated, what it would have done for the Negro Leagues, because he said the Negro Leagues were more popular mm-hmm. than some of these guys. He said it was filling Yankee Stadium. He said one game they filled Yankee Stadium. Mm. He said, but you have, we live in a society, particularly in the United States of America, 66% of the population is white. We know that they got a lot of money, and as a result, because they pour those resources and those funds into things that are not black, the fact of the matter is you live in a society where people are going to follow the money. So you look at it from that perspective, along with the television deals, exorbitant amount of dollars in the billions, and you see these facilities that they have. You see the money that's being funneled through these programs, through these universities and what have you. You can't blame a young kid 17, 18 years of age, particularly if you're coming from an impoverished background, for following the money and not being conscientious enough to go to an HBCU. You understand that? But they ain't the only people that have to go to an HBCU. I wasn't one of those players. I wasn't good enough. I went to an HBCU. You went to an HBCU. A plethora of people that I mentioned and people that I haven't mentioned went to HBCUs. We making dollars. We're being successful. Mm-hmm. And as long as we hold that baton and we bring attention to that cause, you don't have to be a marquee athlete that goes to an HBCU to bring that level of attention.
Two more quick questions, because I know
sure.
you got to go.
Sure.
Do you take offense to people when they call you an Uncle Tom or a sellout?
I do. It doesn't, but I don't take offense to it in a way where I lose sleep over it. I mean, right. Excuse my language, they kiss my ass, mm-hmm. okay? Because, you know, I don't think I'm selling out. I think I'm looking out. What I'm trying to do is inform them of the world that awaits. Yeah. I'm in corporate America. You know how many times I get in an argument even with players sometimes? I'm like, I'm in the newsroom. Don't talk to me about, the media, they go, you don't know what they're plotting. You know how many reporters smile in your face mm-hmm. and then behind your back they're giving the information to another reporter mm-hmm. so that reporter could go out there and do it. But they don't want smiling in your face, but they stabbing you in the back. Mm-hmm. You see me coming. I'm telling you, this is not what you're supposed to do. This is not what you're going to do, because it's not going to work. And by the way, I'm not thinking for myself. I remember one time, and I did it a couple of times, but specifically last year, I'm big about staying off the weed, off the weed, off the weed. Let me be very, very clear. I got family members and friends smoke some weed. I'm from Hollis, Queens, bro. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on now. Oh, we know better. I'm not talking about the average person. I'm talking about the athlete who's going to lose money because he's doing it. The NFL or the NBA says you cannot do that. Otherwise, we are going to take your money. So if it's going to take your money, why would you do it? He a sellout. This dude, blah, blah, blah. Guess what I did? I brought on Snoop Dogg. Now, we all know he gives new meaning. He gives new meaning in the green rooms. Mm-hmm. Okay, we know this.
He smoked in here. You're not even supposed to do that.
Sure I brought did. Snoop Dogg on. And Snoop Dogg like, Stephen A., you ain't lying to them. You telling them right, because I'm in a genre where I'm allowed to get away with that. They can't. Everybody like, man, Snoop real, man. Appreciate it. He said the same thing I said.
Yeah.
But because it came from me, you got a problem. And so we got to understand that when we're in the position that we're in, and I'm talking amongst us, all of us, when we're in the position and we got this microphone, we got these airwaves available to us, haters gonna hate.
That's right.
It's a given. I understand it. It's no big deal. Let them hate. You know, because when you're trying to make a difference and you're trying to impact the masses, the lives of the many do outweigh the lives of the few. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the lives of the few, you're gonna piss off. That's what comes with it.
Absolutely.
That's what comes with it.
Now, you got your last question, because your brother got to go.
Now, you catch hell for your hairline a lot.
Yeah, I do. I do. I'm trying to hold on to it.
Have you ever thought about going bald or getting
yes.
a cosmetic?
No. Listen, both.
No.
Both. Let me be real. I ain't going to lie. Yeah. Listen, a hair club for men is an option.
Really?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. But here's why the bald doesn't work for me. I got a snoz for a nose. I got a noggin in the back. Now, see, if I had a head shaped like yours or a big square head,
right.
You know, like Billy King, the former president, you know, GM for the Brooklyn Nets, somebody like that, I could do the bald look. Yeah. But the bald's not going to work for me. And so sometimes I sit up there and say, can't, I might. Then I say no. Then I say, all right, hair club for men, especially after Deion. See Deion Sanders.
Deion, yeah.
You see Deion Future. Mm-hmm. They got some surgery. Your own hair could grow.
Rappers.
Right. That's right.
Tiger, Tory Lanez.
There we go. So I don't know about Tiger, and I don't know about LeBron. Yeah, they need prayer. Tiger. They need prayer, too. But the point is, I might need to do that. And then there are other times I look at Kobe. And I'm like this. Oh, it's just before he went bald. I'm like, his hairline was dead.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, Steve, and you know, I mean, I don't get too many complaints. So
sounds
I'm
like a good endorsement opportunity.
It might be. Mm-hmm. I don't get too many complaints. I'm good. I ain't trying to be a pretty boy. I'm just not trying to be Godzilla.
Gotcha.
All right. And where can people go to find out about HBCU Week if they want more information?
Well, listen, I've got folks here, and, you know, obviously you're going to see me promoting it on my radio show and on First Take on ESPN, you know, every weekday. So I'll definitely be promoting that. I'll be talking about it all week long. And, you know, is there, I didn't know if there was a website or what
happened. It's HBCUweek.org.
Oh, that makes sense.
There we go. HBCUweek.org.
See, that's the one thing I didn't know. I didn't know that.
And Facebook and Twitter and all that.
Yeah, so. Salute to all the HBCUs. Salute to South Carolina State.
That's right.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate you for joining us,
And by the way, stop acting like I'm hiding, Charlamagne. I mean, I didn't know y'all were this close to my job.
Right there.
And I don't mind coming on anytime you want to talk about sports. I mean, I don't mind being a donkey there. I can take it. All I'm saying is, though, don't act like you can't reach me.
Let's do it.
Don't act like you can't reach me.
You right there.
You can call me anytime you want.
Y'all all got my number. Don't act like y'all can't reach me.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, it's Stephen A. Smith. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
My brother.
Appreciate you, baby.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yo.
Rumor Report. Rumor Report.
This is the Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on the Breakfast Club.
Now, I've been hearing Jennifer Lopez's movie Hustlers is amazing from people that have seen it already. I was with Gia Peppers last night. She does that Black Coffee show on BET. On digital, and she was saying she saw it and it was so good she wanted to sit there and watch it again. Well, Jennifer Lopez, there's been a lot of Oscar buzz surrounding her role in Hustlers, and the reviews have been amazing for her. So here's what happened when she found out about some of the reviews.
I've just been working hard, you know, for so long, for my whole life, so it's nice.
You know what I love?
Sorry, you guys know that I'm emotional. I'm sorry. I literally sat in my bed yesterday and they were sending me all the reviews and I could not believe it. I was just crying. Me and my girlfriend of 20 years were sitting there and she was like trying to film me. She was like, let's read the reviews. And I was like, oh my God.
That's good for her, man.
I want to see it. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, me too.
I'm happy for J-Lo.
I'm excited. And everybody's been saying how great it is. So the fact that some of the toughest critics are saying she deserves an Oscar for this role.
That's great.
Has to be big, especially because there's been a lot of missteps. Like, people will make fun of certain movies, but this is good that you can always come back and be, like, in your face.
And not only that, J-Lo, I don't know to everybody, but J-Lo, every time I've seen her and every time we've seen her, she seems like a very humble, cool, nice person. And I love to see nice people win.
I saw her in Saint-Tropez
at
Magic Johnson and Cookie Johnson's birthday.
Nice.
All right, Kevin Hart has been released from the hospital now after that car crash.
I see there's Saint-Tropez.
I did.
At Cookie and Magic Johnson. All right. Now, flex.
According to sources, he is glad to get out of the hospital that he's been in for the past 10 days. And he has a very positive attitude about everything, saying that he's just grateful to be alive. They said the goal is to get him home as soon as possible. He's in rehab right now.
Right.
Just making sure he can walk properly again. They said he'll probably be there around a week, maybe even less than that. The good thing for him is that he works out a lot and he was in good shape.
Right.
And that's always helpful when something like this happens.
You know, sometimes God just wants you to sit down and just relax for a second. Just sit down and relax. That was probably a sign from God that says, you know what, Kev, you might be doing too much. Just sit down and relax. But I'm glad he's doing fine. And
well,
doing
Wendy
better,
Williams,
I should say,
has been sitting down and relaxing now that she's getting this divorce from her ex-husband and manager, Kevin Hunter. And she's talking about what she's going to do next. Will she marry again? Who does she want to be with? Well, she talked to Dr. Oz and said this.
I said, Mommy, I'm a wife. I'm not a girlfriend. And I will get married again. There will be a prenuptial agreement. And by the way, Mehmet, we will not be living in the same house. Oh, no. Marriage under new circumstance. That's it. Or let's, you buy the third place. How about that? I need a man with a full career and his own money and his own situation. I don't want anything from you except for your love and respect. And don't ask anything of me.
Wow.
That would be a different and new type of relationship. We're going to get married, but we don't live in the same house. Mm. How does that work? That means, is it married? It's like you're married, but you're separated.
I guess it's like a long-distance relationship where you have your own space. I feel like in that case, maybe it's not time to get married right now.
Yeah, she's not ready for marriage. If she's thinking like that, we're going to get married but not live in the same house. We only see each other
married,
on the weekends.
You want to be like all up under each other.
I would think.
At least for the first 2 months. All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your Rumor Report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Now, up next is Donkey Today. Charlamagne is giving his donkey to. I think he ran to the bathroom. And Ask Yee. If you want to ask
he's
any type of advice.
He's been in the bathroom for a minute. You sure he's okay?
I think he's all right. 800-585-1051. No, I'll pass. If you got a question for Yee, relationship questions, or any type of questions, you can call Yee right now and get on them phone lines. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Peace to the planet. I go by the name of Charlamagne the God, and let's keep it 100 and start the morning off right. 100 coconuts, all right? Has one ingredient, coconut water, without any additions like sugar or preservatives. This stuff is where it's at. I keep it 100 and find out more at 100coconuts.com.
Make sure you tell them to watch out for Florida, man.
The craziest people in America come from the Bronx and all of Florida. Yes, you are a donkey.
A Florida man attacked an ATM for a very strange reason. It gave him too much money. Florida man is arrested after deputies say he rigged the door to his home in an attempt to electrocute his pregnant wife. Police arrested an Orlando man for attacking a flamingo.
With the Breakfast Club, bitches.
Donkey of the Day with Charlamagne the God. I don't know why y'all keep letting him get y'all like this.
Donkey of the Day for Thursday, September 12th, goes to two Florida men named Juwan Davis and Jordan Dunn. Jordan Dunn, a grown-ass man named after the supermodel actress from the UK. Drop on the clues bombs for Jordan Dunn. Top of the morning to you. Now I'm talking to the model, not the Negro from Florida. Okay, Florida, what does your Uncle Charla always say about you? The Sunshine State, huh? I always say the craziest people in America come from the Bronx and all of Florida. All my partners from Florida say to me all the time, man, Florida not as crazy as people make it seem. And then I tell them about whatever crazy story happened in Florida that day, and they never have an explanation for the crazy. Okay, because we all know Florida going Florida. Now, Juwan Davis and Jordan, not the supermodel Dunn, were hungry. Being crazy in Florida will work up your appetite. So they decided to pull up to your friendly neighborhood McDonald's and order some burgers. I'm thinking probably a two cheeseburger meal with fries. That's what I used to get when I used to be a young jit. All right, I used to like that 12-piece nugget meal, that quarter pounder with cheese, that filet of fish meal. That wasn't no hoe either, okay? Now, I don't know exactly what number they asked for when they pulled up to the drive-thru, but when they got there, the food was cold. Only thing worse than receiving cold food at a drive-thru is receiving the wrong food at a drive-thru. So trust me, I feel Juwan and Jordan, not the supermodel Dunn's pain. Now, us folks who not from Florida, if our food is cold, we just simply turn around and go back and complain. It's not even really a complaint. It's just a, hey, my food is cold, and McDonald's and every other fast food restaurant will fix that. Nothing to be rude about, nothing to be upset about, nothing for me to complain about. Just let me get my hot food. That's what us sensible people from other states do. But if you haven't realized by now, Florida is different, okay? How did Juwan Davis and Jordan, not the supermodel Dunn, react when they got cold food from McDonald's? Let's go to WESH NBC2 for the report, please.
Things got heated, according to the sheriff, because of cold burgers.
They paid for 5 hamburgers, and they felt that the hamburgers were not hot enough.
The suspects, 20-year-olds Juwan Davis and Jordan Dunn, went to the drive-thru at this Belterre Parkway McDonald's. Not only did they demand a fresh order of hot food, investigators say the men waved guns around to make their point.
They didn't point the gun at me, but pulled it out and quote-unquote said, I do not play about my food.
At gunpoint, deputies surrounded the vehicle, ordering both men out. Inside the car, investigators say they found a gun reported stolen out of St. Johns County and a BB gun. Deputies say the suspects told them they were just joking with the employee. The suspects are currently being held without bond at the county jail, where the sheriff says the temperature of the food will not be an issue.
Now, one of these guys had a real gun. One of them had a BB gun. They told police they were only joking, but they also told police they weren't happy that their food wasn't hot. Juwan Davis and Jordan, not the supermodel Dunn, y'all made the Hamburglar proud. If the Hamburglar would have had a pistol, he wouldn't have failed at stealing all those hamburgers time and time again, all right? Think about that. Juwan Davis and Jordan, not the supermodel Dunn, were upset they didn't get their food, so they pulled guns on the McDonald's employees, demanded hot food, and actually sat there and waited on the hot food, as if pulling guns on McDonald's employees for Big Macs is normal.
Now, I was going to play a game of guess what race it is. But when it's Florida, race doesn't matter. Because in Florida, people are not judged by the color of their skin. They are judged by the content of their crazy. Nothing else to add to this. This story needs no special sauce. Just understand Florida going Florida. Please give Juwan Davis and Jordan, not the supermodel Dunn, the sweet sounds of the Hamiltones.
Oh, now you are the donkey of the day. Ooh, you are the donkey of the day. Yee-haw.
All right, thank you for that donkey today.
Yes, and listen, I want to salute Milwaukee real quick. I'm going to be in Milwaukee today. At the Turner Hall Ballroom. I'm going to be there at 12:30 p.m. Discussing my favorite subject. And you know what that is. Mental health. So I'll be at the Turner Hall Ballroom in Milwaukee today, okay? Salute to the Minority Health Film Festival. Salute to Bailey and Reggie. Everybody at V100.7. You know, that's the first city to ever syndicate the Breakfast Club, ever. So they always hold a special place in my heart.
All right. Well, when we come back, ask Ye. If you need relationship advice or any type of advice, hit her up right now. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Here's some real advice with Angela Yee. It's Ask Yee.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Hello?
Dre?
Oh, I didn't know I got through. My bad.
You just started yelling, hey, man.
What's wrong with you, Dre?
Oh, I'm good. I'm a little sad, though. You know, tonight will make the one-year anniversary of my grandma passed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry about that, Dre.
She was everything to me, you know. She taught me everything that I know in life. It ain't nothing I can't give her credit for.
Oh, well, shout your grandma out, man.
And long story short, you know, I promised her that, you know, I'm going to still eat dinner with her every Friday if mm-hmm. I came up to her gravesite. I haven't been keeping that promise, and I just feel so low. And I feel like I'm a bad person for that, you know.
Dre.
Every Friday you're supposed to go to the gravesite?
Yeah, every Friday when she was alive, we would have dinner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would go get dinner, and every Friday we had dinner together.
I think she understands, Dre. I think she understands that you're not going to make it to the gravesite every Friday.
But, you know, when she was alive, I made it every Friday. So, I mean, I just felt like, I just feel so bad for it.
Well,
know?
But Dre, I'm sure that your grandmother loves you and understands where your heart is.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's just some things I just feel bad for, like,
well,
that's one.
Why don't you make an effort to go once a month?
It's hard. When she passed away, before she got her gravestone, you know, I went a couple times. But since she got her gravestone in, it's like, that's when it really hit that. Mm-hmm. My best friend is gone.
Right.
And, you know, I feel like I'm lost, honestly. Mm-hmm. I really do feel like I'm lost.
Right.
You know, but I'm walking around with a fake smile. You know, I'm walking around with fake happiness because one of the most important people and influential people in my life is gone.
You know what, though? I'll say this, Dre, and I think about that all the time as we have family members, parents. You know, your grandmother, I think what we hope for most in life is that our grandparents and parents pass away before we do. Because can you imagine the pain she would feel if you went before she did?
Man.
And that's deep. And that was deep, wasn't it?
And that's the natural order of life. And so the good thing in this situation is that this is something that should have happened at some point, was going to happen. She knows how much you loved her while she was here. You spent as much time as you possibly could with her. And that should give you some sort of peace.
Yeah, it does. It does. And, you know, I don't mean to keep it going, but it's just one more thing. You know, it's like I still remember the night she passed.
Mm-hmm.
She was in her bed, you know, on her deathbed, and I walked in, you know, changed the channel, and I sat in the Lazy Boy, and I immediately fell asleep and immediately woke up, and she was gone.
Right.
And, you know, I just wish that I could have told her bye, you know, and asked her, did I do a good enough job?
You did tell her bye, though. You were there with her. I'm sure just having your presence there as she passed into whatever happens after we die, I'm sure she felt your whole energy and spirit in the room with her.
I try to think like that, but I just feel like that was, like, I failed her. The one time she needed me the most, I failed her.
I'm going to be honest. Dre, there's nothing you could have done, though.
Yeah.
Except be there. And so, listen, I just want to say one last thing.
If you can't make it to the gravesite once a week, there's other rituals that you can do, even in your own home or whatever, to pay homage to your grandmother.
Yes, ma'am. I try to talk to her, but it's just not the same.
Okay. Well, I have a feeling that she knows and appreciates and loves everything that you did for her while she was here.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you for calling. And sometimes people just need to talk about it.
Yes, ma'am. You're right about it.
All right. Well, good luck with everything, man. Don't beat yourself up over what it is that you're doing. She knows how much she meant in your life.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I appreciate the words of advice.
Okay.
Gosh.
I feel guilty about not spending enough time with my family.
Yeah, me too. Jeez. All right. Ask Ye. 800-585-1051 if you need relationship advice. That was a downer. Gosh. All right. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Come on.
Need relationship advice? Need personal advice? Just need real advice. Call up now for Ask Ye.
Keep it real.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Good morning. We're in the middle of Ask Ye. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's your name?
Wendy.
Hey, Wendy. What's your question for Ye?
I just wanted to know, why is it so hard to find a good man?
A lot of people want to know that.
What are you looking?
You know what I was going to say, though? I love you guys. I listen to you every morning. You all are so entertaining.
Well, thank you.
You think we're here to entertain you? What, do you think we're clowns?
All right, Emmy, shut up. You're part of the problem.
We just amuse you? Where are you looking for this man? Where are you looking for this man?
Emmy, you know this is Ask Ye. Get out of here, man.
I mean, you can meet people different places.
Mm-hmm. So you've had some bad experiences.
Yeah, I have. I really have.
Have you tried Target, Walmart?
You can't just buy a man off the shelf, Emmy.
Popeyes. A lot of good men at Popeyes.
Envy, we're going to need you to shut up during Ask Ye and
right,
just be
sorry,
quiet. You don't see me mixing over your mix.
All right.
This is the part I'm talking about the entertainment, see?
I want to say this, though. A lot of times we complain about finding a good man, but what we're not doing, right, is making the effort to look for that good man the way we would make that effort to look for the perfect job or to purchase a home. Like, sometimes these things take a lot of work. It's not just, I'm going to walk out and the right man's going to walk up to me.
Yeah, you're right.
Are you putting yourself in those situations where people know that you're open and ready for something real and going to the right places and putting it out there that you're looking for somebody? Have you tried to do any type of matchmaking services, online dating, any of those things that show how serious you are about finding somebody good in your life?
No, because I've like heard horror stories about, you know, some people meeting online people and this, that, and the third has happened, so...
We've also heard some great stories about people getting married and finding true love.
Well, yeah, that's true as well.
When it comes to relationships, you're going to hear horror stories about everything because everything doesn't work out. But I do want to say, put yourself in position, okay, to find that right person. If you're not going out there and trying to make it happen, you sitting at home thinking a guy's going to ring your doorbell and be Mr. Right, it doesn't happen like that.
Where are you from?
Okay, I'm from Augusta.
Okay. I got some ideas. Can I share them with you?
Oh, no.
Sears. There's a lot of men at Sears.
I think Sears went out of business.
A Home Depot. Home Depot, Lowe's, or Sears. You can find a good man there. A sporting event. You like football?
What did you just Google?
Or what about the gym? you go to the gym?
Well, I do.
You don't go to the gym. I can hear it in your voice. DJ Envy Seminar. You ain't going to try one of my seminars.
Shut
There's a lot
up,
of single
Envy.
Men there.
Now, let me just finish with saying this.
Christian Mingle. I'm sorry.
Envy, shut up.
All right, good.
All right, are you listening?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Do you go out and socialize and do all your friends, coworkers, everybody know that you're looking for a real relationship?
Well, my sisters, I have a few friends. Like, my circle is small.
Mm-hmm.
And we group together, but not as often because... You know, everybody works crazy hours, or, you know, if this person is off this day, then the other friend might be working a 12-hour shift, so...
You know, sometimes you got to get out of that circle that you're in ordinarily and out of your comfort zone and place yourself in different situations, because if you keep on going the same place and hanging out with the same people, nothing's going to change.
Okay. That's why I wasn't expecting my call to get through, but I'm glad I am, because... You have the best information to share, and, you know, people just talk to you, and they love talking to you. You're awesome.
Oh, but you ain't like you, my advice?
No, we didn't. But thank you so much. I appreciate you. And listen, make that effort, okay? We can't complain about not finding the right man and we're not even out there trying to find him.
Yes, ma'am. I sure we I'm definitely going to use your advice.
Okay, Mom, okay. Home Depot on a Saturday or Sunday. You see how many confused men are there looking for nuts and bolts?
We don't want to confuse men.
You go there with something sexy.
We don't want a man confused about nuts
Depot
and bolts at
on
Home
Saturday
Depot.
Saturday or Sunday, mad men in there.
Where else do you find men, Envy?
Well, I'll go to Home Depot and say I'm...
Don't listen to him, honey.
My house and I'm looking for some bolts and then I get somebody to help.
There you see, now you're thinking.
Oh
you go
God.
There and you start looking confused and somebody be like, can I help you?
Y'all need to stop watching porno.
You know what? Forget it.
Oh, wow. Well.
All right, good luck.
Good luck, Wendy.
Okay, thank you, dude.
I'm telling you, Sam...
Shut up!
All right. Ask Yee, 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice or any type of advice, you can hit Yee. Now, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, we'll talk about Tekashi 6ix9ine. You know he's going to be in court. Now, who is going to show up on his behalf? Not too many people. We'll tell you why.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk. Riri.
It's
This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, Lizzo's having an incredible year. Well-deserved, okay? She don't play tag, bitch. She been it. And Rihanna was talking about Lizzo at her Savage Fenty show. She talked to Entertainment Tonight, and here's what she said when questioned about Lizzo.
I love Lizzo. She's so badass.
Well, girl, we caught up with her just the other day, and she was just raving on and on about you and said, I want to collaborate with her. So is this something that y'all have talked about?
No, but, like, I'll collaborate with her on the lights for this interview right now. Like, Lizzo is so badass, and she's everything that Savage stands for.
All right. Well, there you have it. So I'm sure that's going to happen soon, because if I was Lizzo right now, I'd be right up in the DMs. Like, girl, I heard what you said. So I'm available. Where are you? I'll come to you. Phaedra is getting back on reality television. She's going to be on Marriage Boot Camp. So should be interesting. They said she's already started shooting episodes and she'll be featured with actor Medina Islam, who she's been dating for several months. Tekashi 6ix9ine, he's supposed to be testifying in court, but they're saying his family is not going because they are scared for their lives. They decided it is too risky for them to show their face when that trial starts, and that trial is for the two men who allegedly had a role in Tekashi's kidnapping last year. And Tekashi's going to be on there, quote, snitching, so they don't want to be anywhere nearby. Smart idea. I wouldn't want to be there either.
Yeah, you don't want to be a part of that. You don't want to be around that. I mean, I don't know what happens to 6ix9ine after this, because he can't go in witness protection. Not with the big 6ix9ine tattoos on his forehead. Because
he can't get them removed?
I don't know. On his head, maybe, I'm sure. But, I mean, it's going to be difficult for him, I would think. But I think he still wants to come out and pursue a career, right? Try to rap and try to do music?
I don't know if he can do that. Because where are you going to perform? You can't go. Who's going to hire you?
But do you think a lot of these kids care? I mean, a lot of his fan base.
It's not even about that, but think about that, right? What promoters are going to want you in their club knowing that there's a hit out on your life?
Let's be honest. A lot of his fan base from the suburbs, and I don't think they necessarily care about snitching or not. They've never been
in the
place.
But I'm talking about what venue is going to take that risk of having you come knowing there's a price on your head.
There's
going to
be a lot of venues that would. They're going to care about the money. If he can bring the people there, they're going to take him.
Because that'll shut your whole venue down. A shooting happens?
Maybe.
That's too risky.
Maybe.
All right, Tina Turner. She has, she told the New York Times, had a terrible life, but she just kept going. She said, you just keep going and you hope that something will come. Now she lives in Switzerland. I actually read her book, by the way. If you have a chance to read her autobiography, it's pretty interesting. She's now married to Erwin Bach, and she, of course, as we all know, was in a very well-documented abusive relationship with Ike Turner, who has passed away.
Mm-hmm.
She said she doesn't regret their relationship or spending more than 50 years performing, but now she's finally enjoying that retirement that she so much deserves. She said, I don't sing, I don't dance, I don't dress up. She don't do none of that anymore when it comes to music, because she's just retired and she's chilling. She said she's had to start living a little selfishly, as she had always lived to please other people. She said, I was just tired of singing and making everybody happy. That's all I'd ever done in my life. And as far as Ike Turner, she told the New York Times, I don't know if I could ever forgive all that Ike ever did to me, but Ike's dead, so we don't have to worry about him. I mean, he is.
Damn.
All right, now Rob Gronkowski, a.k.a. Gronk, He told Fox Business that he hasn't spent any of his NFL income.
You don't spend a dime of your NFL income. You live on your endorsements. Is that true?
Yes, yes, I have throughout my whole career. And I saved it all throughout my whole career, which is very nice. I'm in a great place, and that's where I want it to be. I mean, I've just been told throughout at the NFL, not for long.
That's great. I mean, that's a wonderful thing. I think a lot of people can do that if they have the opportunity. But he has huge endorsements.
Oh.
No, huge endorsements. All athletes, they have huge endorsements.
They don't all have huge endorsements.
And I said he had a huge endorsement, so he didn't necessarily have to spend his money because he could spend his endorsement money. But that's a great thing. If you can save that money, hopefully he's not just sitting in the bank and he's investing it in something that could make him some real money.
Well, he's made more than $50 million as far as his salary.
I love it.
And he also has joined Abacus Health Products as a spokesman for their cannabis-derived pain relief products.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure in that cannabis business, that's kind of where it's at right now. All right, Ja Rule has trust issues, and that's all thanks to the Fyre Festival.
Oh, I have major trust issues. You know, I'm not mad at the team. I'm mad at the leadership. Hmm. We had a great team. I'm the leader of my team. I can lead very well. I may make mistakes, but guess what? I'm going to keep you fired up. I'm going to keep you energized. I'm going to keep you, you know, believing in the goal. And that, to me, is good leadership.
Well, there you have it.
And that's the reason why when we do a lot of the things, we take care of a lot of the things ourselves. Like even with my car show, I was so hands-on because you don't want to mess up and it's in your name or your name's involved, and that car show is my car show. That's why I do everything myself. So with Ja Rule, he'll know next time if he ever does a concert like that again. I bet you, I guarantee he'll be hands-on. He'll be calling managers. He'll be calling artists. He'll be calling the stage. He'll be calling the sound. He'll be calling the food because he wants to make sure it's right.
I think a lot of that, though, was fraud on Billy's part, because Billy was the one that was talking about the money that they made, and he was fudging the numbers as far as how much the company had brought in.
Right.
I was just actually watching. I had seen the Fyre Festival documentary on Netflix, but on the plane the other day I was watching the one on Hulu, Fyre Fraud. So they were discussing like how he had fudged these different numbers, and he thought they were really trying to make that festival happen, and what he was doing with bringing in more money and making all these promises for lodging that didn't even exist, all of those things. Now Ja Rule is talking really about his new booking service that he has. It's called Icon. And so he's discussing being a leader at his own company now. All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Now, when we come back, People's Choice, Mick, shout out to Revolt. We'll see you guys later. Everybody else, get your requests.
I'll really see Revolt later, by the way. Shout out to everybody at Revolt, because the Revolt Music Conference is happening in Atlanta, and everything starts today. So when I leave here today, I'll be heading out to Atlanta.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll get into the mix next. Don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
The homie.
She held a spot for me out in Milwaukee, but I fell asleep on her.
What?
I'll explain in a second. We got the homie Tez Fagaro. Welcome back.
Tezlin Fagaro.
Thank you.
Explain
thank
Milwaukee. What the hell happened in Milwaukee?
Well, it was Hip Hop Week in Milwaukee.
Okay.
Remember Dave Mays came up here and we talked about Milwaukee. There was a big awards ceremony.
You didn't go?
I went down there and I did the financial literacy part. And then after, I was supposed to go to the awards show, but I fell asleep.
Oh, man.
And they said they had my little picture on my little seat and all that. But I missed out. But how was that event?
It was really good.
Hip Hop Week in Milwaukee.
Really, really good. Shout out to Scarface doing Hip Hop to the Polls. Mm-hmm. That was really important. Did a hell of a speech. He was talking about the elephant in the room. Mm. So you would love that commentary.
What was the elephant in the room?
About racism.
You know, he was talking
about it's important if you're going to run for office, be in political office, call out the elephant in the room.
Absolutely.
So he did a really, really good, phenomenal job with that.
Do you think the Democratic candidates, because that's the only person we expect to do that nowadays, do you think that they're doing a good job of that right now?
Probably not. My thing with the Democrat candidates, obviously we know we have a debate coming up this week. I think the best thing for Democrats to do is stop sending your best representative. You know, the thing is now is let's just hide Joe. Let's not let him interview, say this, say that. The worst thing a fear for people is have a candidate run for this long because they show their flaws.
Yeah. Right?
And so I think what's most important is to show the most imperfect person we can vote for. Mm-hmm. Everybody is imperfect. There's nobody perfect. And just be honest about it. One thing about Trump, like I said last time I was here, he's Suge Knight, period. Gangster, all the way through. You talk about him, he doubled down. He says, you say something about that the second time, he triples down. So in order to beat somebody like President Trump, I think it's important that you say who you are. Number one, just doing a quick fire round, Kamala Harris, you lock people up. We all know this.
Absolutely.
So market that. I lock people up.
Lean into it.
Lean in. I lock people up. I'm going to lock up Donald Trump's
ass. That's it.
Like, be real clear about it.
That's it.
It's no point in trying to be something different. Not now. If we want to talk about her record and we want to criticize that, I don't have a problem with it. Joe Biden, say straight up, hey, I locked up a whole bunch of black folks, and I had a lot of black people that supported me. Mm-hmm. The CBC supported him in those efforts. I'm a big, as you know, talk about the crime bill all the time, 94 crime bill, but admit it, adjust it, apologize, correct it. Mm-hmm. Running from it, trying to be somebody different.
Justifying
that you're not.
It just
won't work.
Right.
You know, the fraud season is over with. When we talk about, at least Mayor Pete, when he was up here, I was watching an interview, just say, hey, I messed up, period.
That's it.
I didn't get it done. A lot of people respect that opposed to being something different. Bernie Sanders, just go ahead and admit you prefer class over race.
Right.
Period.
Yeah.
You know, you can say March of Martin Luther King, that's fine. But if you go look at his clip, he marched on Martin Luther King because of what Martin Luther King was doing with the Poor People's Campaign.
Issue.
That's correct. Nothing to do with race. He'll never, it's not that he's racist or doesn't understand racism, but he's always talked about class. He will always talk about class. Mm-hmm. And that's just what it is. Don't try to make it be something that it's not.
Can we fix racism, though? Because when I think about class, I think Martin Luther King Jr. tried to do. He tried to change systems because you can't really change racism.
Yeah, you can't change racism. I mean, diversity training doesn't do it. Mm-hmm. You know, going around hugging people doesn't do it. Singing Negro spirituals doesn't do it. You know, you can't change it. You change the system in itself. But again, my issue is, and this is me, you know, working for the guy, focus, be who you are. You know, don't try to act like all of a sudden you all about race when you've never been all about race. You know, so you've always been about class, be about class. And then can I say one thing that probably no political pundit will say? Can I go ahead and say Willie Brown? Is that okay?
Hey,
okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, I mean, just, ahead. I want to say this.
Kamala's old boyfriend, right?
Right. Yeah. I want to say this, and don't start tweeting me saying I'm standing up for Kamala. I'm supporting nobody. But I do want to say that because I think it's important that, first of all, Willie Brown gets called out for being weak, you know, for talking about their past relationship. Mm-hmm. I think that's wrong. I think it's hella disrespectful to his wife, who he was married with then. I think for him to talk about his sex life and talk about panties opposed to politics is weak all the way around. I know nobody's really saying that in cable news, but I can say it here. I think it's just highly disrespectful. And when you talk about her running and to be talking about her past relationships, I just think somebody needed to call that out. So thank you.
That's some sexism. That's sexism.
Who does that?
You know
that?
How many of these male nominees have all kinds of things in their past and nobody's bringing up?
Right.
It's not relevant.
Now, it's happened before, but this is definitely sexism.
Right, but who does this, though? Yeah, what man does this? I dated you back in the day. I just think it's weak, and I think if we want to talk about her issues and talk about her prosecutor background, I'm here for that.
Right.
But to talk about who she slept with and all of that, I just think
she shouldn't even
weak.
Have a platform.
Absolutely.
Can
not.
We talk about the classism over racism thing, though? Like, just expound on that. Like, what is that? What does that mean when you say Bernie was classism over racism?
Well, I think I don't necessarily want to say he doesn't think that one is more important than the other, but that's always been his platform. He's always talked about once we deal with class, once we deal with income, that things will be evened out, that people will have a better opportunity. But like you always talk about it all the time, it's not just about us having a job and making more money. It's about the systems that are in place that constantly keep putting us in positions, whether we're looking at criminal justice reform, whether we're looking at healthcare, the lift all boat tides thing.
Yeah.
You know, if my boat is already down here and you're up here and we're lifting, there's still nothing to cover the gap. So,
black people boat got a hole in it.
Absolutely. So I don't want to say that he doesn't understand it, but if you look at over 30 plus years of what he's talked about class. And if you ride with that, then rock with it. You know, it's no point in being something different than you are. Elizabeth Warren, same thing. You know, I know you gave her a hard time about her Native American. I'm from Oklahoma. A lot of people don't know that the Oklahoma state flag is Cherokee. I mean, it is a Native American state.
A lot of people have Native American in their back, or we're told that they do.
Absolutely. They told me my grandmother was 100% Native American. I believe my grandma. Right. You know, so.
Did you ever get your DNA test to find out?
No, I did not, nor did I list myself as a tribe. You know, my Aunt Barbara is a part of the tribe, but I didn't write it on, you know, any paperwork. I didn't say I was Native American. Right. You know, so she should own up to that. But I think she should do a better job of explaining it. You know, when she was here and saying, oh, well, you know, when you asked, were you a Republican? Oh, you know, I just wasn't into politics. Well, yeah, you were. Oklahoma, every county is Republican. So if you come from Oklahoma, more than likely, you have some conservative values. So just say I was a Republican and now I switched up. I know better, so I'm doing better.
Right.
So I just think these candidates trying to get around and skate around certain topics, it just won't work.
So you understand why people don't fuck with politicians and feel
Absolutely.
Like everybody's lying all the time?
Absolutely. I always say like pimps, pastors, politicians have a lot in common.
That's right. But, you know, a lot of people feel like, you know,
they don't necessarily jump into politics so early because it feels like everybody wants to be a Democratic candidate for 2020 at first, right? And then you kind of just let them all fall down, and then it's like this is like the second wave of now let's see what's really going to happen. A lot of people look at politics like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, and one thing I always say, Trump was the best and worst thing that ever happened because people are paying attention. You know, it's a reality show. People are either we're paying attention to the daily chaos, you know, that he brings to America, or we're looking at candidates a little bit differently. This is the same Joe Biden that was the vice president before. You know, I'm looking at what's the confusion. This was the same guy before, mm-hmm. but now he's being vetted. So now people have more questions. And the reason why I always say pimps, politicians, and pastors, even though there's good folks in all of them, there's some good pimps out there too. You know, but the constant me, you, us selling. You know, they do speeches where they talk about themselves, and they talk about you, and they talk about us and how we're going to change the world. And I think people are just over that. Authenticity is what's best. Mm-hmm. And the more people can say, this is who I am, this is what I stand for, allow people to decide what they want to do. Right now, black women are undecided. 26% in the Essence poll said that black women are undecided. We don't know who we're going to vote for.
Wow.
So you just can't assume, you know, that it's going to be Kamala Harris, or can't assume it's going to be Joe Biden. You're going to have to kind of earn our vote.
All right, we have more with Tesla and Figaro. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Tesla and Figaro is here. Yee.
Now, I want to make sure we get to what you're here for as well, which is the March for Don O'Neely that's happening on September 15th.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. This is really important, and thank you for having me on here. You know, you talk about mental wealth. Don O'Neely is a mentally ill black man in Galveston, Texas. A lot of people don't understand that Galveston, Texas is where Juneteenth started. You know, the holiday that everybody talks about, Juneteenth, about the slaves being freed. It actually started in Galveston, Texas. So to see Don O'Neely, people may remember the picture of him being tied to a rope and led by a horse being arrested. Mm-hmm. That policy, number one, is designed for crowd control. There was no crowd control issue. The chief has now adjusted it and taken it off the books, but it's still important that we say, okay, Donald, we're riding with you. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, and even me, I've criticized marches. You know, what are we marching for? Well, the same way that we say we're not past kneeling, we're not past marching either.
The police officers knew him. They knew he had a history of mental issues. He was bipolar.
Right. And I want to be clear. When I say he has mental issues, I'm not talking about functional mental illness. I've met him myself. If you were to see somebody homeless on the street and how they suffer a lot with schizophrenia, those types of things, that's the level of mental illness that he's dealing with.
Yeah,
this is not just, oh, you know, he's just having some problems with anxiety.
Depression, anxiety.
Yeah, no. These are serious mental ill issues. It is clear as day. That's what you'll see on the tape. That's what we're asking for, to release the tape. But it's not just, you won't see him getting beat up or shot or those types of things. But what you'll see is somebody who is mentally ill that is latched to a rope.
Led by two horses.
Why was he arrested, though? That's what I didn't understand. But he was just in another neighborhood.
He was homeless.
Right, so is that trespassing? If I'm walking around the street, is that trespassing? He wasn't on private property.
Well, that's what the problem is.
That's
crazy.
And
he was also charged with that as well. That's another issue that we have. One of the requirements of them dropping the charges says, oh, if you just come complete this class, we'll drop the charges. But he's not mentally capable to do that. Mm-hmm. So, again, that's what we talk about, our criminal justice system, mm-hmm. the things that we're requiring people to do to jump through hoops. You know, when They See Us came out and everybody was so, oh, my God, I can't believe this happens. I was shocked because I know five dudes right now, you know, that's been through solitary confinement.
Right.
If you don't know five people that you can name right now that's having any type of mental issue from anything going on, I can name Spud, Calico, L Baby, Rich, and Spook.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, all in wheelchairs, all the way from 50 something years old all the way to 20 something. If you can't name five people right now, then that means that you have not been in touch with your community. Mental health, not just in general, are our daily mental issues, but we have a lot of people in our community that are really, really suffering. And I noticed that a lot. You know, I talked about last time with Spud being shot. I noticed that we don't talk enough about what's happening with the homies on mental illness. Mm-hmm. You know, what happens when they're locked up? What happens when they come home? When Nipsey was shot a month before that, Spud was shot. But you never talk about who was left alive. What about the guys that got shot with Nipsey? What's going on with them?
Right.
Are they dealing with any type of anxiety, any type of depression? A lot of these guys, when they get the mental health, and that's, I hope I can come back and talk about that in February, mental health for the homies, mm-hmm. an event that I'm doing, because a lot of these guys that come out and
talk. Why didn't invite me?
I am going to invite you.
Oh.
I was planning,
it's in February.
It's in February, and it's mental health for the homies. And the reason why it's so important is because a lot of these guys that come out and talk to them in these rehab centers are people that, you know, are paralyzed from maybe a a fall or a car accident, something like that. There's really not a support system for people that have been injured through gun violence or domestic violence or drugs, you know, that can talk on a level that is that they can understand. Mm-hmm. Secondly, their support systems have zero support as well. Going through Spud's time in the pen, if you were down with anybody through their time being incarcerated, through coming out, and then now paralyzed from the pen to paralyzed, not only is it a big charge for him, but also for those of us who support him.
Right.
And so those conversations need to be had when we talk about mental health. And that's why Donald Neely was so important to me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just about marching and singing and all that. We showing up to say we here, we riding with you, we gonna walk down the same streets where slaves were free, to remind the public that, yes, you are free indeed. That's important that Donald Neely knows that.
Right.
His family got to know that we riding with him. It's not, oh, y'all just marching. No, it's not about that. It's making it known on the public. No behind-the-scenes closed deals. And to the presidential candidates, some of their staff has reached out, and I told them the same thing. Unless you saying something public, the conversation never happened as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. I'm not interested in talking with you to get to know you, to get a job, and oh, such and such called me. No, if you're not saying it publicly, if you're not making it known publicly, then the conversation never happened.
Did they have a bag over his head, too? I read that somewhere. They put a bag over his head, Donald Neely's head.
Based upon what I have saw, you know, because I have not seen the tapes, but what I have saw, I did not see a bag over his head. And, you know, like I tell people, just the rope is enough. You know, just walking somebody through the street is enough, because I don't want people to start seeing, if the tape comes out and they say, oh, you know, he wasn't beat up or he wasn't shot, let's not take away from the fact
to
that
a horse
that's enough. Like,
the humiliation and what that looks like as an example for people.
Yes.
How do we know he's not getting taken advantage of, though? Because he's a homeless person who's mentally ill. So somebody hired him an attorney? Like, where was the family before? If the family had him out there homeless, like, why are they?
And I'm glad you answered that question, because it goes back again to the misconception that people have about Attorney Crump. He's not hired. These families don't pay Attorney Crump. You know, that's
but
what
who's
people.
Who's the family, though?
What do you mean?
Who's the family that went and got Crump for Donald Neely?
Well, they called and said, we need some help. And he came. And he just happened to be in Houston that same day when I called him and said, Ben, do you see what's going on? He said, okay, well, you know, Les and the family called and we went. That was it. Mm-hmm. That's what people don't understand. These people call on Attorney Crump for this. Right. He's not running around saying, hey, you need some help, need some. And then he takes it upon himself. He goes. It takes years to get these cases settled. 9 times out of 10, most government entities have a cap on what they can award. In fact, I was just reading an article on the young lady that was in McKinney that was held down by the police officer several years ago. She was just awarded like $150,000. That's really not a lot when you look at, you know, the issue in it in itself. So nobody pays him. He just does this just
imagine
because
as a family, you don't have money and you're like, we need help.
I just
want to
make sure Donald Neely wins this civil suit.
Right.
He gets the money. He gets the help he needs.
I think Charlamagne was asking, where was his family before?
Yeah, where's the family?
Well,
like this same family that can hire him an attorney, where were they at when he was homeless?
Right. Well, based upon what I understand, and I don't want to get into deep to their family dynamics, but from what I understand, he's had sisters who have tried to take care of him over the years. He's had support. They've tried to put him in and out the hospital. Mm-hmm. He's really, really mentally ill.
So and he doesn't take medication, right?
Right. This is a guy that, you know, when you sit there, he may run out the room. He may, I mean, he deals with some real.
And
real
I see it a lot when I buy properties, when I buy real estate. A lot of times when we go in these houses, people, homeless people, live there, and they come from good families, good areas, but they just don't want to be there. They're mentally ill, or they're having problems. Maybe they're bipolar, or maybe they're on drugs, and their family can't. And they try time and time and time again. Doesn't mean that they're bad people or their family doesn't care. It's just. They try.
There's a high percentage of people who are homeless that have mental illnesses.
Yeah.
And he's getting help now, to answer your question a little bit more directly. And hopefully, you know, I don't want to go too far in advance, but but hopefully, you know, whatever happens with it, that he'll be managed well. And we want to do our part to make sure that we're continuing this conversation. You know, I don't really get into what they're doing or how they're going to do it, but it's important that we talk about, you know, just how we're treating our homeless in general.
Right.
When's the march again? Tell them about the march, when can they find information if they want to be a part of it?
Yes, it's on Sunday, September 15th at 4 p.m. at the George Seeley Pavilion in Galveston, Texas. You can visit galvestonmarch.com. Sunday, 4 p.m., you can catch me on Twitter, Instagram, Teslyn Figaro, TEZLYNFIGARO.
All right,
thanks.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, shout to our family in Miami, all right? 103.5 The Beat is the station that we're on. And right now, they're at the Walmart on Northwest 27th Avenue in Miami Gardens, right by the Hard Rock Stadium. They're collecting donations
for all the people in the Bahamas, our family out there. So water, generators, plywood, food items, sleeping bags, whatever you can give will go a long way to those affected by Hurricane Dorian, all right?
Yes, and salute to everybody in Miami who has made the Breakfast Club number one again on 103.5 The Beat. Drop on the clues bombs for yourselves, damn it.
That's right.
We appreciate y'all having no taste and tuning into this ghetto-ass morning show every goddamn morning. Thank you.
That's right.
Salute to DJ 33 and the third. What's happening, my brother? Logic was good.
All right. Well, they're going to be out there until 10 o'clock tonight. Again, that's the Walmart on Northwest 27th Ave in Miami Gardens with 103.5 The Beat. And all you got to do is hashtag iHeartBahamas. So get out there and give back, all right?
That's dope.
Now, Charlamagne, you got a positive note for the people?
Yes. First of all, I want to tell everybody in Milwaukee, I will be there in a few hours. I'll be there speaking at 12:30 at the Turner Hall Ballroom. It's a conversation about mental health. Salute to the minority. Hold on. Let me say that name correctly. I won't mess that up. Let me say salute to the Minority Health Film Festival. And I'll be having a conversation about mental health at 12:30 in the Turner Hall Ballroom in Milwaukee. So I'll see y'all in a few hours, okay? Okay. Now, the positive note is simply this. Whenever you find yourself doubting how far you can go, just remember how far you have come. Remember everything you have faced, all the battles you have won, and all the fears you have overcome. Keep going.